And we're going to be reading verses 11 through 19. This is a familiar little episode in Jesus' life that I think really sets the stage for what we want to talk about today. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked him, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Here ends the reading of God's word. You don't need a preacher standing up here droning on and on to explain the message in this little passage. It's very simple. Jesus has compassion on sick people. That's number one. Jesus is moved by faith in action. That's number two. And maybe the most important thing is Jesus is touched by a thankful heart. This was a hideous disease these men had. It was deadly. It was going to be their end. And they cried out, it says, which means that's a special kind of prayer. They just absolutely begged Jesus as they cried out, "Have mercy on us." And then he gave them specific instructions. He said, "Do this in faith and trust me. Put your faith in action." And then he mentioned this thankful note that one of them had. And he sent that particular man, the 10th one, away, the Samaritan, away with a special blessing. Sometimes the best way to illustrate something like thankfulness is with a life well lived, a person's life that exudes thankfulness from beginning to end, where it just plain shines through in everything they do and everything about them. Today I want to share one person's life with you that has deeply touched me over the course of the years. Her name is Frances Crosby. You know her better as Fanny Crosby. And she was the author of the first two songs we just sang. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer, all the way my Savior leads me. And so many others. And I'll tell you about that. I'll tell you about that as we go along. But when I read and study about Frances Crosby, it leaves me inspired. It also leaves me feeling a little bit ashamed of myself. And I think you'll see what I mean as we get into this. This is truly the legacy of a thankful heart. Fanny Crosby was born in Putnam County, New York, in 1820. Just to give you the boundaries of her life, she lived to 95 years old. So she lived past the turn of the century into the 1900s. By anybody's standards, she should have been a miserable person. When she was very young, 5 weeks old, just a little babe in arms, she got an eye infection of some sort, and her eyes got very red, and the town doctor was visiting someone in another city, so he wasn't available. They found another man who claimed to be a doctor. He said, "I can take care of the little girl," and he put a hot poultice on her eyes. And the end result of all of that is she went blind at the age of 5 weeks. She never saw again all of her life. And yet, when she was 8 years old, she wrote this little poem. She said, "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I'm resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. So weep or sigh because I'm blind? I cannot, nor I won't." 8 years old, she wrote that. She went on to be probably the greatest hymn writer in the history of our country. She wrote over 8,000 hymns, and many of them almost in miraculous fashion, and I'll tell you about those as we go. She wrote, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank Him for this blindness," she said. "The doctor who destroyed her sight never forgave himself. He moved away, and he was totally devastated by it all. But she wrote, if I could meet him now, I would say, thank you, thank you, thank you, over and over again for making me blind. The blindness that many would have considered to be an accident, a curse on her life, she considered it to be one of her greatest blessings. She wrote in her diary one day, I could not have written thousands of hymns, she said, if I had been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice. And so she literally thanked God for her blindness and said, don't blame this poor doctor. She went on to write hymns like, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Near the Cross, To God Be the Glory, Draw Me Near, 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 Precious Lord, I Am Thine, O Lord. He Hideth My Soul in the cleft of the rock, and saved by grace. That's just a fraction of what this dear lady wrote over the course of her life. This blindness did not hold her back at all. She had a phenomenal memory and developed this from her earliest years. When she was just 10, 12 years old, now get this, she memorized whole sections of the Bible, including Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the book of Proverbs, all four Gospels, a large part of the book of Romans, and the book of Revelation. And she said, It's been the most wonderful thing. This holy book, she said, it's nurtured my entire life. And she could literally, if you said Leviticus 20, verse 10, she could literally go to that in her mind and quote you that exact verse, even though she couldn't see. And it just blows my mind when I say that. Huge sections of the Bible. Years later, Fanny viewed her blindness as a special gift from God, believing it had given her soul vision, she said it. That's what it is. It's soul vision. And it equipped her for a special work. It was the best thing that could have ever happened to me, she declared, and she was being sincere here. How in the world would I have lived such a helpful life if I had not been blind? Don't blame the doctor, she said on another occasion. He's probably dead by this time, but if I could meet him, I'd tell him he has unwittingly did me the greatest favor in the world. One time, she wasn't very good handling money. She got behind on her rent. The landlord came to collect it. She said, "Please be patient with me." She got down on her knees and she prayed to God to help her through this rent crisis. And within the hour, a stranger appeared at her door, pressed $10 bill, which was a lot of money back then, into her hand and disappeared. Honest truth. She needed exactly that much to make the rent. And that night, she was so inspired by God's answer to prayer that she sat down and wrote these words. You just sang them. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? All the way my Savior leads me. Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell, for I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me. Oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Those are inspired words. They came out of the struggles of her life, and they came from the Holy Spirit. She was a lady who had throughout her life this spirit of thankfulness. One day a Scottish minister remarked to her, "I think it's a great pity that the Master, when He showered so many gifts upon you, did not give you the gift of sight." Her rebuke came quickly. "Do you know that if at birth I'd been able to make one petition to my Creator, it would have been that I should have been born blind." The surprised clergyman said, "Well, why would you say that?" "Because when I get to heaven, the first face that I shall ever see will be that of my Savior." She went on that night to write a song, and here are the words. "When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him. I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him by the print of the nails in His hand. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face and the luster of His kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise Him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepare me for a mansion in the sky." Wow. Blind person wrote that. and said, I'm thankful for my blindness because the first thing I'm going to see is going to be Jesus. Wow. Fanny didn't have a lot of money. She lived much of her life in the slums of New York City, near the Bowery. And I'll tell you a little bit about that in a few minutes. But her friend, her dear friend, who was a musician, a piano player and a musician, was Phoebe Knapp. Phoebe Knapp was just the opposite. She had oodles of money. She lived in a mansion in Brooklyn. She had a lavish wardrobe. She had a beautiful mansion. Her music room was filled with all the latest instruments. And occasionally she'd ask Fanny to come and stay with her for a while. One day in 1873, when Fanny was staying at the Knapp Mansion, Phoebe said, I got a tune I want to play for you. And so they went to the music room, and she sat down at the piano and she played a new composition of her own while the blind hymn writer listened. Da 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 da. And as she played it, Fanny, as she often did, clapped her hands and she said, I know what that song is. She said, that song says to me, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And she got down on her knees and asked the Lord to inspire her words, and she wrote it in 45 minutes. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Fanny was a humble person. One time she went to a D.L. Moody, you've heard that name? D.L. Moody crusade. Ira Sankey was there, and they played a lot of Fanny Crosby's songs at that crusade. Fanny showed up that day, and there was no place for her to sit. Moody's son ushered her in, and seeing there was no place for her to sit down in this big sanctuary, he ushered her by the arm up on the stage as they were singing Blessed Assurance. And this crowd of thousands suddenly saw D.L. Moody stand up and raise up his hands and stop the music and say, behold the author of this beautiful, beautiful hymn. And a thunderous applause went around that auditorium, and Fanny went up on the stage, and she said later it was one of the most moving things that she had ever experienced. When she was 38 years old, she got married. She married another blind man from the school where she had attended, and they had a child soon after their marriage. And no one knows if it was a boy or a girl. In later years, she never spoke about it except to say in her oral biography, God gave us a tender babe, and soon the angels came down and took our infant up to God and His throne. And so that baby died, and those who knew Fanny Crosby said that she hardly ever got over that. But 10 years later, Her friend Howard Doan came to see her, and he said to her, I only have 40 minutes. I have to catch a train for Cincinnati, and I have a tune for you. And so he proceeded to play this tune for her on the piano, and after he finished, she retreated to another room. She got down on her knees and said, I know, Lord, the name of this song before I even write it. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, thereby his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels, born in a song to me, over the fields of glory, over the jasper sea. Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er. Wait till I see in the morning, breaking on the golden shore. Later, a pastor said that he thought that that song, Safe in the Arms of Jesus, probably brought more comfort to grieving moms than any other song ever written. And it came out of Fanny's own grief as she lost a child. Another time, she was asked to speak at a conference, and she got a sense before the conference began that there would be someone in that conference who needed rescuing that night. And so she said at the end of her address, if there's a dear boy here tonight who has perchance wandered away from his mother's home and his mother's teaching about the Bible and about Jesus, would he please come to see me at the close of the service? And afterwards, a young 18-year-old man came, young kid came. Did you mean me? He said, I promised my mother to meet her in heaven, but the way I've been living, I don't think that will be possible. And Fanny sat down and led him to faith in Jesus Christ, led him to leave his sins at the foot of the cross, led him to a changed life. And 35 years later, at another conference at which she was speaking, the young man came back to her and said, I was that boy who told you more than 35 years ago that I'd wandered from my mother's God. That evening you spoke, I saw it, and I found peace, and I've tried to live a consistent Christian life ever since. If we never meet again on earth, we will meet up yonder. At age 60, she went to live in the deepest slums of New York City so that she could work in amongst the down and out of that city. She lived close to the Bowery, where every kind of vice and vile thing happened. And she willingly put her life in danger, literally, by living there. But God gave her a song while she was living there. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Incredible. When she got older, when she was 85, she slowed down her hymn writing from 200 a year to 50 a year. and she wrote hymns until the day she died. She wrote one particular song that she never intended to have published. It was her private song. It was her personal song. It was her testimony song. And somewhere along the way at another D.L. Moody conference or crusade, she was asked to speak, and the Lord said, just share this song with people. And so she said, I don't want this ever published, but this is my heart's cry. This is my faith. This is my Savior. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. Someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. Someday, when fades the golden sun beneath the rosy-tinted west, my blessed Lord will say, well done, and I shall enter into rest. And then the familiar chorus. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. Do you know this one? And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. That was the personal hymn of this great hymn writer, and eventually they persuaded her to publish it, and so many people have been blessed by that song over the course of the years. She died at 95. And the day she died, she wrote yet another hymn. She leaves behind an amazing legacy of faith and joy and thankfulness. All right, I'm going to close with a rap song. It's either a rap song or a little jingle that girls repeat when they skip rope. I'm not sure which of the two it is, but it requires rhythm. I don't have much, but I'm going to do my best. 10 poor lepers, sick as they could be, lived by themselves in the land of Galilee. Then the Son of Man came walking down the road. Oh, heal us, they cried. We bear a heavy load. The Lord Jesus Christ was touched in his soul. He spoke unto the 10 men, and all were made whole. Leper number 1 left to find his brother. Leper number 2 ran for his mother. Leper number 3 set out to get a wife. Leper number 4 simply ran for his life. Leper number 5 paused to count his money. Leper number 6 bought some jam and honey. Leper number 7 wondered what to do. Leper number 8 was glad he was a Jew. Leper number 9 said, what else is new? And leper number 10, on his knees he fell, crying, thank you, Lord Jesus, for making me well. This poor leper had his whole body made new, but when he thanked Jesus, his heart was healed too. Back where we started, the thankful leper. They say in the Scottish Highlands there is a path that leads up into a beautiful area where you can see forever. And on that path there's a stone bench. And inscribed on the back of that bench are these words, rest and be thankful. Great advice, isn't it? Rest and be thankful. And that's the punchline of the message today. Ask Jesus today to make you like the Samaritan leper and like Fanny Crosby. In all things, always thankful. And may our story be the legacy of a thankful heart. Let's pray. Father, as we Consider this great woman of faith. We thank you for her life, and even today we enjoy so thoroughly singing the wonderful songs that you gave her miraculously. Thank you also for her prevailing attitude through life. No matter what she faced, no matter what kind of heartache and setback she endured, she was always and forever a thankful person. And it came out in her music, and we were blessed by it. As we finish up this service again, singing her songs, may you be praised and thanked, as is so important. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen.